There we go, recording. Sorry about
That's okay. Okay, so we'll start over. This is a regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. It's 4:31, and this is a regular meeting held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public may call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 782-488 402 pound to listen and participate. We will call this meeting to order and we will have Mr. Wamsganz read roll call.
Commissioner Clary?
Present.
Commissioner Lehman?
Here.
Commissioner Lindstrom?
Here.
Commissioner Lucene Seitz?
Here.
Commissioner Loring will join us later. And Superintendent Butler.
Present.
Great, thank you. And now we begin our work session, which is scheduled from 4:30 to 5:30 with a presentation by the AWPHD. We welcome Matt Ellsworth, the Executive Director of the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts. And you will be presenting to the board members on ballot measures. And I think everybody's read the attachments that we received on this. And we've got a lot ahead of us in the November election. So we thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you for having me. And before I get started on our topic, I wanted to, first of all, you can all hear me okay? Thumbs up, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I wanted to take a moment and reintroduce some of you and introduce some of you to the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts. We are an advocacy organization. We represent every one of the PhDs around the state. I know in your packet, Nathan had sent you a little bit of who we are and what we do. Some of you know us from, we're the group that does the governance education for you board members about good governance, how you operate your commission. We are the what if folks. And what we do is answer those questions for you that pop up because you're a PhD. And being a PhD in a special purpose district comes with some special rules, some of which you just exercised in the introduction to the meeting today. And so we spent a lot of time helping our members navigate that unique world that is the public hospital districts. I got to know Nathan a little bit earlier this year, helping your district navigate some of those questions. I'll also say that one of the other things we do on top of the education piece, we advocate for those regulatory issues that you're confronted with, such as the special meeting issue for in the virtual world that we've been dealing with over the past 2 years. And finally, this is the part I love. We're the organization that sends you a check twice a year. we participate in a funding mechanism through the called an intergovernmental transfer that we do with all the PhDs. And part of that is part of that benefit is by participating in this rubric, we get a financial benefit that we send direct to all of the PhDs. Over the past 2 years, it's covered your dues to our association. Thank you for paying us back. But on top of that, in the future years, you're going to see quite a significant increase. And so we hope to increase our activity and benefit to all the districts. So that's in a quick nutshell what we do at AWPHD. Our sister organization, Washington Hospital Association, although you don't have a hospital, we work hand in glove. I share, I'm in their offices, I sit on their senior leadership team, and we share a lot of resources amongst the group. So as a quick little overview of AWPHD. Moving on to the more exciting topic, which is what's coming in November. I wanted to share with you some thoughts about the environment for going to your voters and asking for support, what that means, what you as commissioners can go and do in support. I also have to say, or not in support of this. One of the aspects of being a commission is that in the public meeting, we don't take positions. Although you did stake out a position when you passed the resolution to put it on the ballot, you can't advocate from the podium that you're sitting on today. But we're going to talk a little bit today about how to navigate the do's and don'ts of that as well. Historically, when a PhD goes to their voters for a levy, our levies are generally about 50-50 success rate. Bonds are more difficult. Bonds are where we build physical buildings. They take 60%. You don't need 60% for your levy. And so, some of the aspects to that is your voter turnout in November is going to be relatively small numbers. With that becomes a smaller margin. Typically, when levies fail within the state of Washington, they tend to fail by under 3%. So what does that mean? That means that you guys have to work 4% harder. And we tend to see levies don't fail by large margins. Communities want to support healthcare. Our hashtag on our social media is Keep Care Local. Feel free to steal that. but that's why local communities tend to be supportive, just like there are schools and libraries and the rest. That being said, that 3% difference, as an example, is we had a bond in Klickitat County in August, had 2,837 voters. On the day after election, they were winning. They ended up losing by 29 votes. And this is the third time that they've gone to their voters for this. This was a bond for a facility, so it had that higher requirement. I'm not telling you this to discourage you. I'm telling this to scare you. And I'm telling you this to give you an example of what it means to go out to your community to get those extra 29 votes. With PhD elections around the state, I've heard it time and time again. We lost by 5 votes. We lost by 10 votes. In the state of Washington, if you have a tie, pop quiz, what's the tiebreaker in the state? It's a coin flip.
I don't know.
Can you imagine standing in your auditor's office and having the fate of your future decided by a coin flip?
No.
Me either, but I've seen it. Don't let that happen to you. So, and I don't think it will. And Nate has, and by the way, I want to take a moment to thank you for Nate. He has offered a tremendous amount of leadership to your group, and he's been a pleasure to work with. I feel a lot of calls from a lot of PhDs, and the questions I get from Nate are, they're smart questions, and they're insightful questions, and really things that are driven to improve your PhD. So thank you for keeping Nate around. He's been a pleasure to work with. So
agree with you. Yeah. We're very lucky to have him.
That's great. One of the things I handed out to you, maybe this is a great way to start the conversation, is that list of do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. And the first tenet of a successful bond or levy, I'll stop saying bond because we're just doing the levy here, of a successful levy campaign really does lie within you. And again, in this conversation, because of the legal parameters, I'm going to interchange, I'm going to say support or oppose. That is up to you what you choose to do. Now, I can say I hope you all support it. but typical of PhDs, once they put their issue out to the voters, commissioners tend to believe that because they're an elected official, they can't do anything. That I've put it on the ballot, now it's up to the people, I'm an elected official. I'm here to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. There are things we can't do, and we're going to talk about those. However, one, you've already put it forth on the ballot, so you've made your position known. I don't know who voted for that, maybe one of you didn't, that's okay. But real quick, who here is up for election this year for their board seat? Okay, Everett and Trish.
Yeah, but they're unopposed.
Okay. If you were opposed, would you campaign to keep your seat?
Yes.
Absolutely, you would. This is no different. What you're allowed to do to campaign for your own seat applies exactly to campaigning for or against a ballot measure or a levy measure. And the golden rule of all of this is that you cannot use PhD resources. And we hold that dear. So what does that mean? Can you have a bumper sticker that says vote yes or no on your car and park it on PhD property? Absolutely you can. Just as you can for, if you want to say elect Trish, you can do that as well. Now, if you have a facility that's owned by the PhD and you want to use it for a campaign meeting of the group supporting or opposing your levy, can you do that? Well, would you allow any other member of the public to use that space? Mm-mm. If the answer is no, then neither can you. Can any other member of the public rent that space for $10 and use it? If the answer is yes, your campaign can as well. They just have to pay the $10. The campaign supporting or opposing the levy has to be treated like any other member of the public. Where this gets confusing is if somebody calls in on the phone today during public comment and asks you a question about the levy. Can you answer it? Yes, you can. You cannot advocate for it. You cannot oppose the levy. But if the question is, will this raise my taxes? Answer the question. If the question is, will this, how will this change how care is provided in my community? You can answer that. You just can't say, this will provide a new long-term care option in our community, and I hope you would support that. You can't say the last sentence. But at the end of the day, when you walk out that door, you can stand in the parking lot, and if somebody asks you your opinion, well, do you support this? You absolutely can give your opinion, yes or no, and advocate for that. You just cannot do it during the public meeting or using public resources. If you have an email address that ends in San Juan Public District, like Nathan has, and someone emails you and asks you a question, you have to answer it in the same way because you're using a public resources. You can answer it saying, this is what your effect will be on your tax bill, but you cannot say vote yes or no. You can't put on your email signature, please support. You can't do that. Now, if somebody emails you to your Gmail, you absolutely can do that because you're not using public resources. Quite frankly, the person that this challenges the most is Nate. Because Nate, as a superintendent, tends to take most of that incoming. And so I have a lot of faith and trust in him that he'll triage those. And if you have a group supporting or opposing your levy, you can direct and say, well, here is somebody who can answer that political question. At the end of the day, just don't use public resources to do it. Any questions so far on those? And by the way, that list I gave you is pretty comprehensive on the what is. So I'll pause for just a moment there.
So when we go through our committee report, and we do have our long-term care committee, which is really leading this, leading the levy.
Sure.
When they give their report, and we discuss in our meeting, obviously we've been very excited about this, and we've talked about it in the meeting, before it became certain that it was going to be on the ballot. We, we're all proponents and we're positive and blah, blah, blah. But you're saying that even in a committee report, in our meetings from now on, now that the measure is on the ballot, that we need to be really careful about making positive statements, essentially, that we just need to stick to the facts.
That's correct. You can only be educational about it. Now, if your committee, are any of you on the committee, on the long-term committee?
Yeah,
Trish is.
Trish and Gail both are.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, one thing I would say is that you can't control what a member of the public says to you in a public meeting. So, however, you do have to be careful about if they report saying, The long-term care committee, in its own time with non-public resources, went and spoke to Rotary. They can say that, and you can say, okay. What you can't say is get into a discussion about, well, what were the questions there? Was there a debate? Was there, you can't get into any of that. You can receive a report in a public meeting from just like any member of the public. That's okay. But you just can't get into the, and you can be excited about it. That's okay too. You just can't say, we want all of you listening to go out and vote for this. Okay. I mean, it's hard. And at the end of the day, you are independent elected officials, and it's really using public resources. So you can state your opinion, and that's okay. The fine line is, are you using this meeting tonight that's paid for by the district with their technology and their space? Are you using this as your platform to advocate? That's different than being excited about it.
Okay. Hard. Okay. Thank you.
It is. It is. Trish, did you have a comment or question?
No. This is all very helpful and kind of aligns with, you know, what I had understood that we had gotten from the handout. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll address one other issue that is challenging for commissioners. And that, and this is one of those things that keeps commissioners from going out and being an advocate for or against a levy. And that is, they don't want to be confronted by their friends, neighbors, and enemies about it. And it's hard. You have all put your name on a ballot. You all have a certificate on your wall that says you are duly elected. And it's hard when you disagree on a public policy matter with your friends and neighbors or at the grocery store. And somebody comes up and say, hey, I Trish, I hear you're going to raise my taxes. You know, and however, at the end of the day, that's what leadership is. And that's what being a public official means. I worked for the United States Senate for 15 years, and I got yelled at as much as the U.S. Senator. It's hard. But at the end of the day, that's why you're here. And if you're not willing to be that information source for your public hospital district, that's role number one of a commissioner, as I like to say. And so, one, I want to recognize that challenge exists, and it can be hard. However, I think people are there. What I like to say to tell yourself, they're coming to you because they see you as an elevated position of authority on this matter. They're not asking you because you're just walking down the sidewalk. They're asking you because they know you are a leader in this area. And at the end of the day, it's an opportunity. Now, as important as all this is, the reality is CNN does not have a helicopter with a spotlight over you leading this as breaking news from Wolf Litzer tonight. But it is important to your community, and it will have an effect on there. Being that this is a very new thing, it's not as if you are Jefferson Healthcare who regularly does this every few years. There's an education barrier. There's a lot of folks who don't understand that they're in a PhD within their community. And they don't know what this means. And so another area that you guys can do as a commission is that education piece. You can use PhD resources to produce a one page that you mail out, that you hand out, that you talk about. I would make it very clear that you paid for it with PhD money that says, What does this mean for you? This money will do A, B, and C. It will purchase this. It will pay for that. It will. These are the things, if it passes, that will happen to you, the community. You can talk about these are the kind of a frequently asked questions. this is what will happen to your tax rate or your tax bill. That's probably the number one question you get. And so you can produce that and send that out. What you can't say at the end is vote yes or no. Okay. However, I would encourage you to be as transparent as you can and do answer those questions out front. And producing something like that, Nate's getting nervous because I'm making work for him. I'm just kidding. Another benefit of that is then all of you as commissioners are now on the same page so that you're giving a consistent answer to your community when that question is being asked. And that's very important. At the end of the day, it's when those answers start coming out differently, that creates dissension amongst the constituency. Yes, Trish.
Thanks, Matt. So question, when you say we can put out our list of frequently asked questions, we can mail that to every box holder, every address on the island paid for by PhD funds? I mean, I'm not saying we would, but I just, so we may. Okay.
Yes, you can. And you can even go so far as to cut that down and say to every registered voter.
Okay.
Now, what you can't do is start parsing it after that. You can't go into a voter file and say, and by the way, I ran the campaign of two current U.S. senators. You can't go into a voter file and say, I only want to mail people who voted in PhD elections in the past 3 years or by party or anything like that. You have to do a broad just push to that registered voter.
We actually are planning to do exactly that, a mailer to all of our district residents. So with attorney cleared documents. Okay. I think we just lost you, Matt. Can you guys hear?
I can't hear you, Matt. Can't hear you.
You're not muted. I don't know what happened.
We got you now.
You, Matt. Oh,
there you are.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Okay.
Nate, try again.
I was done. I was just saying that we are planning to do a mailer this fall, and we've done them in the past, and we are planning to mail something out to all of our district residents, and we're working on it right now. We'll have our attorney clear it. So, yeah, factual information to the public is key.
That's great. Anna, you were going to say something there.
No, I'm good. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
The last thing I'll tackle is the kinds of groups that can operate on, I won't say on your behalf, but can operate as an outside organization where that sheet of rules I gave you don't apply to. And I'm going to give you a scenario. I know you don't have a foundation, but a lot of hospitals do, or hospital districts. If a group were to form on its own to advocate for or against this, the number one question I get is, can all of you, Brady Bunch here, can all of you be on that committee? And the answer is yes, you can. You can donate funds to that committee. You can participate in each and every way. You do not have to call a public meeting when you all get together in the basement to stuff envelopes or what have you, or make phone calls. However, you have to be very clear that if a majority of you are part of that outside group for or against the levy, that you do not conduct any official business. So just like you can't conduct political business here tonight, in that group, you cannot conduct official business. So if you're sitting in that room and there's other people there that are stuffing envelopes with you, and somebody asks the question, well, who are you going to hire once this passes to run the operation? You can't ask that question. Or you can't talk about that question amongst the three of you there, because then you're conducting business. That is a political bubble and needs to be treated as such. And this is an official business bubble and needs to be treated as such. Can you, I love this question, can you donate money to one of those groups advocating for or against? And the answer is yes. I'm going to take that one step further. I don't know this, and you don't answer this. If you receive a per diem as a commissioner and are paid by the district, and let's say you're being paid $50 for today's official meeting, and you donate $50 to the campaign effort for or against, can you do that? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Once that per diem money lands in your bank account, it is your money. You can do whatever you want with it. And if you choose to use that for to support Joe Biden, you can. If you want to use that to support Donald Trump, you can. And if you want to use that to support or oppose your own campaign, you can. So that's another question I get frequently. It ceases to be public money once it's given to you.
Okay.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
I had one question on this as far as, you know, official versus political. And that is, you know, does that apply to public records? I mean, you're communicating using your private email about political business. Is that a public record?
Good question. Smart question. Everything you email out of your district email address is publicly available, and you shouldn't be doing political emails out of those anyway. If you as a commissioner use your Gmail to say, hey, we're going to get together and stuff envelopes tonight for or against, that is not publicly disclosed. If the outside group expends over $1,000 in support or against the campaign, they do have to do with that. They have to report their donors and expenditures. But that is not, that is completely divorced from the business of the PhD itself. One thing I would recommend is that you develop as a board a simple sentence or statement to respond to folks that ask you political questions on your official email. If I fail, I really hate this. Are you going to support this or not? I'm saying this language, but thank you very much for your inquiry. As a publicly elected official using an official email address owned and operated by the district, I'm not permitted to answer that question in this forum. One, all of you, and so you can just email that right back out and send that. Are there?
You're breaking up just a little bit, Matt. But I think what I'm understanding that you're saying is that we need a simple statement in response if somebody writes to us on our PhD email, just saying that, you know, thank you for your inquiry, but we can't really discuss this. And perhaps we have an official statement then.
Yeah, and it could be a just a simple sentence. I will tell you, this isn't going to happen a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And not to scare you, but when you have a very vocal group against a levy in a community, some people try to trap you into this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just being overly cautious about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So with that, I'm coming up on my 30 minutes. I'd be at your discretion, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to take any other questions or offer any other insights particular that I can help with. I'm not leaving you after today. I'm on call. And always to help out the PhD on these matters. If you have a group advocating on the outside, I will probably reach out to them and offer them political advice that I can't offer here today, because I have a huge interest in, and I can say this because I'm a member of the public, I have a huge interest in your levy passing. I support it. I want your community to support it. I'm going to do that.
Well, I love that hashtag you said earlier, keep care local. Yeah, we may appropriate that. That's a really good one. Yes. Thank you.
All yours.
Well, of course, we want this to be successful. It sounds like we know how to stay in our lane. But it looks like Trish has got a couple questions.
Thanks. Matt, so I just want to make, you cut out just a little bit there, but I wanted to make sure you're saying that you could talk to the campaign committee in support of this levy. So we just get in touch with you to maybe have that
committee can reach out to me, and I'd love to help them.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
So there is that current campaign committee, and they've already started having a fairly strong presence on Facebook. So for us as commissioners, if we see a post from them that we like, it's fine for us to share that, because that's not our official public hospital district Facebook page, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Make sure you're not doing it on a computer owned by by the district. Nate, I would not do that activity anytime between the hours of 8 and 5. Even though you can say, oh, I stepped out to my car and I did that on my phone. Just avoid it.
And then the official public hospital district Facebook page, are they allowed to share something from that group, or is that best left alone? Oh, Matt's frozen, I think. Are you back?
No.
No,
they're
they
only the Yeah, I'm gonna turn my camera off. That made the spotchiness a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe not. The official PhD Facebook can only share educational information.
Okay. So they could share like FAQs, but they couldn't do anything else. Okay.
Is a post of that.
Okay. Great. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, we scheduled an hour for this, so if people have questions, speak up. Our executive session doesn't start until 5:30.
I feel like I have my list, and I won't like anything on an official computer, so it seems pretty clear.
Yeah, this has been super helpful.
Yeah, it has been.
Glad you guys planned this session.
Yes, thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah, I apologize. My internet literally just crashed.
I think we're all getting used to that sort of thing in all of our remote meetings over the last year and a half. It's part of the process.
Well,
we do really, really appreciate the time, and we'll be in touch, I'm sure, with more questions as this goes around. But thank you so much.
You bet. Nate, I'm going to ask you to share my phone number and email with the group. It's also on that Who We Are, What We Do, and call me anytime, and I hope to show up for a victory party.
We hope so, too.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, and I really appreciate all the advice.
Thank you.
We had several key talks that really helped me frame this issue up, and for better or worse, I wouldn't have recommended that we move forward until you and I had talked, and after talking, felt good about it, and it was a pretty key step for me. So if it fails, I'm going to call you up and blame you.
I've got tough skin. All right. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Take care. Thank you. Okay, you guys, should we just take a break until we reconvene at 5:30-ish? Does that sound reasonable? Okay. So we can leave the meeting and come back. Nathan, is that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can just come back.
And do we need to do roll call again?
No, but you need to call recess for however long it's going to be. So recess till 5:30 or something like that.
Okay, so I'm calling recess for about, we'll say about 20 minutes, till about 5:28. We all reconvene here. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, it's just about 5:30 and time for us to begin our executive session. We plan to start executive session from 5:30 and end at 6 p.m. under RCW 42.30.110(1)(i). So I think we'll reconvene. At least there are three of us commissioners here and those staff members. So we'll step out of this and begin our executive session and see everyone else at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nathan, I just stepped out to go to executive session.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Sure. This is the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners meeting for Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. Board of Commissioners is currently under executive session from 5:30 until 6 p.m., at which time they will resume the public meeting. Hello, Mr. Estrada.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Are they still in executive session?
Yeah, we're just waiting them to come back.
Okay.
They should be here pretty soon. I just checked to see if there is they needed an extension.
Gotcha.
But they should be back.
Good evening, Lainey.
She might be away from her.
No, I'm here.
Hello, Lainey.
I just had to come touch the speaker part so that I could speak.
All right. I had to reread your message a couple times, Steve, because I logged on at 4:30 and they were in their working session, which was, quote unquote, open.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if that was the regular meeting or if that, it took me a little while to read through it. I'm like, oh man, I don't think I need to be here. So
it was pretty dry.
Yeah. I've met with, I forgot the gentleman's name now. Matt, yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. I like talking. I learn a lot from him.
He reminds me a lot of my brother. So every time I see him, and he actually sounds like my brother. What is my brother doing there? Hello, Annalisa. You're on mute.
I'm muted. We're arriving. Hi, Jack. How are you?
Hi, Hi, Nathan.
Nice to see you.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. It was fun running the other day outside of EMS. I don't actually see you in person very often.
I know. I want to reach out and touch you, make sure you're really there,
It's so weird because we're literally 20 feet from each other, like.
And there's Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Okay, so we are back in our regular board of the San Juan County Public Hospital District here. And our next, is everyone here? Almost. I guess not. We need to approve the consent agenda, but maybe I need to wait till the other two commissioners are here. Let's try.
Hi, Trish.
Hey, Jack.
And Gail, sorry, I don't mean to ignore you there.
That's all right.
Okay. Do you all mind if I go ahead? We need to approve this consent agenda, but we just need to amend it to add policy 1-047-21, the FMLA, WFCA, and PFML policy. And we just want to add that following resolution 21-553 and policy 4-022-21 at the end of new business. Does anyone else have any modifications to our consent agenda?
No.
Is everyone all right with that change?
Yes.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. We'll just move this along. Audience participation, I don't think we have many people out there tonight, other than those that are presenting. That is a 15-minute limit total, maximum 3 minutes per person, *6 to unmute. And we also have public comment later in the meeting as well. So if there's Steve, do you have any people online?
No, there's nobody. Oh, there's nobody else on online at the moment.
Okay, thank you. And so in that case, I'm not sure where Commissioner Loring is, so hopefully he'll be joining us shortly.